Spain today announced it's emerged from recession, growing just for the first time in more than 2 years. It's a boost for EU leaders meeting tomorrow for their latest summit. While many countries are now reporting growth, Italy remains in recession and has the second highest debt in the Eurozone as a percentage of GDP. In the past, Italy's small and medium-sized businesses, many of them family firms, have been a vital part of the economy. So can they be a source of recovery now? The World Tonight's Paul Moss has been to the Veneto region.
It hasn't changed all that much. At the Fedrigoni paper mill in Verona, they use machines that basically operate the same way as when the company was founded back in 1888, turning raw paper pulp into high-class paper products sought after by clients around the world. This is a family-owned business, and you might think that after 125 years, they would be used to all the obstacles you face when you try to do business in Italy. But then I talked to Fedrigoni's marketing director, Chiara Medioli. She's the great-great-granddaughter of the company's founder. And it turns out she's still full of frustration and resentment at her native country.
We used to be number one mercantile nation in the Western world back in the Middle Ages. You know, all that knowledge and expertise seems to be lost. We are still discussing on how to build a decent motorway between Naples and Salerno. And we don't have a decent rail system between the eastern part of Italy and the western part of Italy. It's very frustrating. You know, we have a flourishing business, and it's only here that things seem to be delayed, delayed and delayed.
Why? Why do you think the infrastructure is in such a poor state in Italy?
We somehow have a ruling class in government that we don't deserve. I wish that Italians had a sense like you have in the UK, where, you know, every little lady writes to her MP, nags them about things, or says, you know, I'm checking on that. But here it's not like that. They kind of expect the worst.
And yet it is so easy to be charmed by this country and its particular way of doing things. Down the road from Verona, in the university town of Padua, I found a traditional street celebration taking place for students who just received their doctorates. Away from the music, though, one of the university's economics professors insisted to me that Italy's traditions are often what holds it back, and that particularly applies to family businesses. Paolo Gubita says that most Italian companies remain family-owned, and despite some remarkable successes, most of them, he says, cannot deliver the kind of growth which this country requires.
In order to grow, family firms need to attract good managers and young talent. But family firms face difficulties because the entrepreneur decides to put at the top of the company his son or his daughter or cousin instead of putting the best in the company. And now, for this reason, family firms face a lot of difficulties in growing in size.
And yet they do have their reasons. This is a country where you really need to trust the people you go into business with, because if things go wrong, fighting someone through the courts can take years. And if you give someone a job who you don't know, well then, laws on worker protection mean that it's almost impossible to sack them, should you want to. So, far better, many believe, to work with people with whom you share a surname. And if keeping it in the family does place a limit on growth, that's a limit faced by many of the other small and medium-sized businesses on which Italy's economy is based. The headquarters of Eurotech has a distinctly science fiction feel. This small firm is based in a rural area close to the border with Slovenia. Yet, here they make some of the world's most advanced microprocessors. They've won awards, they have an order book that's chock-a-block full. And yet, according to the company's investment manager, Andrea Barbaro, they cannot get the credit they need to expand further.
There is no clear vision of which are the companies and the industries in this country that deserve money from the banks. And I think it's not just their fault. There's a lack of vision of the whole country. The government first should have a more clear vision of the future, where this country wants to go in the next 10 to 15 years in order to support the growth of the nation.
I had the chance to put that suggestion to the man who acts as the representative of Italian banks. Francesco Guido is vice president of the Italian Banking Association. So I told him what had been said,
that banks here lack vision and are unwilling to lend to go-getting high-tech companies like Eurotech. Much to my surprise, he said it was true.
We don't have in Italy a great tradition from the technological sector. We have to assist better than before the startup. It is not easy. This transformation needs a long time.
But if you don't mind me saying so, Italy doesn't have a lot of time. Your economy isn't growing. You've got huge debts. These firms are crying out for credit. They're saying, look, we could grow, help transform the Italian economy. And you banks are saying, well, we've got our traditional way of doing things. It's not going to change in a hurry.
Yes, yes. It's true. But this economy, traditional economy, can play a good role in the international recovery that we expect for the next year.
Investa più energia politica costruttiva.
Once upon a time, there was a man who was supposed to change things quickly. When Mario Monti was made Prime Minister of Italy in 2011, he was usually described as a technocrat, a no-nonsense Mr. Fix-It, who could finally reform the bureaucracy, the corruption, the regulation and the rules. He certainly made a start. But then when Monti stood for election this year, his party won just 10% of the vote. And for the writer on politics, Franco Pavoncello, this showed just how impossible it is to make any fundamental changes to the Italian way of doing business.
Monti had the possibility of intervening forcefully in the economy because the country was on the verge of collapse. But the moment that the fire was put out, politics came back into the picture again. Entrepreneurs, real geniuses, they have to face a bureaucracy that strangles them every single day. Maddening obstacles to doing business. And so you have a combination of a family capitalism that remains somewhat controlled by families, and you have public capitalism that becomes very ineffective, very inefficient. I believe that this decline will not be stopped.
If you want to reflect on the subject of decline, then Rome is definitely the place to do it. I've just come down to the Italian capital, where I am, of course, surrounded by the crumbling ruins of an ancient civilization which fell apart. Now, no one's predicting quite such a dramatic failure for Italy, but there are plenty of fears about this country's future. On the plus side, though, there is a newly emboldened government in power. It's a coalition between Silvio Berlusconi's centre-right party and the centre-left Democratic Party. It's just survived a no-confidence vote. And when I spoke to the Democratic Party senator Gianpaolo Galli, he insisted that they could now move ahead with reforms. But politicians, business people and ordinary citizens, he says, do need to be patient.
It is difficult and it takes time to make changes, for instance, in the bureaucracies. The deeper problems of a bureaucracy that doesn't function or a justice system which is very slow, what is necessary is a stable government.
Well, stable government hasn't exactly been your specialty in Italy. Do you really think that now you have got the sort of length of time that you need to make the kind of changes you say need doing?
Of course, I cannot forecast the future, but I don't see what could cause a crisis of this government, because I think people realize that if we go to new elections, no one will win. And therefore, I hope that we will be able, and I have some reason to hope, that from this situation of necessity, we can make a virtue.
Let me throw a statistic at you. The European Union has just said that of all the corrupt government contracts that have gone on in the EU, half of them are in Italy. When corruption has become that entrenched, not so much a problem for business, but almost the way of doing business, how can you stop that?
This issue has proved to be an issue which is indeed divides very much the centre-left from the centre-right. If we had a majority and we were in government without the Berlusconi and Berlusconi party, we could do a lot more.
I'd like to talk also about infrastructure, which is a perennial complaint here. Not enough railways, not enough good railways, not enough ports and harbours. Again, this is the kind of thing that takes an awfully long time to do, and yet businesses are crying out for more of it.
Well, this is one issue again in which you need stability and continuity. Having now a bipartisan government helps because it is less likely that the next government will undo what this government has done. We all have to work together to introduce little by little, as fast as we can, all the changes which are necessary. These changes cannot occur overnight.
That report from Paul Moss in Italy.